Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Merge Medical Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Brown. I'm joined by my co-host, Dr. Jeff Cole and Dr. Jose Bolanos. Dr. Bolanos is a physician. Specifically, he's an OBGYN. He's a consultant to many healthcare startups. And I'm really excited about the project he's going to be presenting and talking with us about today, Nimbus T Global. Nimbus T Global is focused on secure healthcare identity management and authentication. Jose, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen. I'm very happy to be here.
We're happy you're here.
I'm living in the Northern California area, and basically my whole life in California. So yes, so I actually am a IT person for a long time. I trained at Stanford as an OBGYN physician. I was in private practice for 22 years. And one of the problems we encountered was I created my own electronic medical record system, billing system, and lab system many years ago. And when you have 10 patients with the same name, that's a problem. And the entire EMR system, trying to do patient record matching has been kind of a nightmare. So if you get the wrong information on the wrong record, it's a real problem. So we've been working on secure identity for a bit. We incorporated Nimbus-T Global in 2019. And we have a solution that will allow for a more advanced secure identity. So tell me a little bit about your experience with cyber attacks. As you know, we've had a few.
Yeah, we just saw, was it the Change Group just got their stuff just basically taken down. And this affected physicians that I knew personally, OBGYNs. They were not able to get their billing complete for weeks. And this still may be going on, and they can't pay their staff, et cetera. And it's just these companies break in and hold them, the companies hostage, right?
Change Healthcare was doing, of the $4.5 trillion, they're doing like 20% of the billing. So it's a massive problem.
Has that been resolved that you know of?
It's still in the progress. And apparently they had to pay $22 million in ransom, and probably was much more than that.
That's crazy. So your software, your process would eliminate that, or at least help prevent it, right?
Yeah, let me discuss a little bit about identity. Right now, the digital world, when you log in and create an account, you just username and password, right? And there's no verification. The entire payment system for healthcare is $4.5 trillion a year.
And they do 20.
Healthcare was responsible for about 20% of that.
That's crazy. $4.5 trillion.
So it's a massive, massive problem. And in fact, Advantage Healthcare, Ascension Healthcare just got hacked also. And and the problem there was that they're having a lawsuit against them, which is going to be a problem. Because normally you'd say, it's not my fault. You know, it's like the hackers, it's their fault. So let me explain a little bit about the identity process. When you think about identity, the real world right now, you don't verify yourself. You just create a username, password, and you create an account. Mm-hmm. What we're looking at is a system in which there's something called single-factor authentication, which is username, password, then two-factor authentication with a Google six-digit PIN. Mm-hmm. And everybody's migrating to that along with FIDO too. But these are static keys. And they're not encrypted, or at least the two-factor authentication, that six-digit PIN with Google Authenticator, it's not encrypted, so it's not really protected. And then there's multi-factor authentication, which actually adds biometric. That's your iPhone, right? They spent $320 million in order to create this. Well, the problem is that a criminal can create an account with your name on a new email, and their iPhone will log them with those credentials. So this multi-factor authentication is a facial recognition. It's a facial recognition. It's not verifying you. Our system does DEMFA, dynamically encrypted multi-factor authentication. So our mobile app verifies you. You upload a pro picture, a non-smiling picture, the front and back of a driver's license. Our artificial intelligence compares all the images. Is it the same person? Yes. Is the name on the driver's license the same name you registered with? Yes. Then the UUID, the unique ID, universal ID on the phone, a master PIN, and then you have an account. So if we have a hospital system with 10,000 employees, what will happen is we do what's called the SAML 2 or Open ID backend connection. And that's a secure connection that even the banking industry uses. So every employee gets an email that says, hey, there's a new way of logging in. And the way you log in is with your mobile app that is verified that you are who you say you are. And essentially, like here, I have a whole bunch of connections, but to give an example, here is the logo of the company, my picture, dynamic pin, and a dynamically encrypted QR code that was sent. So those keys get issued brand new every 5 minutes. So our system encrypts with different modifiers. So what we're doing is protecting the front door. 80% mm-hmm. of the intrusions are through using mm-hmm. the password front door.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a phishing attack, they send you an email and you click on it, and you have some kind of software that gets input into your computer, and then they can monitor all your usernames and passwords as you're typing them in. So here you're not typing anything in, it's encrypted, and to decrypt it, it would take more than a year. So even criminals could not decrypt that in 5 minutes. So we've done something quite unique. So in the system, as you see the digital world advancing, here I saw one of your presentations about artificial intelligence, and the mm-hmm. AI world is taking the world by storm, right?
It is.
But you're logging in with a username and password. Mm-hmm. And it's horrible because we'll have a massive positive event, but a massive negative event, you know? So yeah. The Nimbus Key system would actually lock that front door where criminals only... good people, we actually want to create an account to log in and verify who you are. So the federal government, I know the AI world sent letters to the government saying, please stop the development. I'm sorry, it's too late.
Yeah.
But we need a secure identity, and the entire digital world needs secure identity in a way in which you're proving that it's you. So it protects you and it protects the systems that you're logging into.
So Jose, take me from just a very simple practical approach. I'm a doctor. I log on to Epic every day, right? And through the Baptist system, not every day, but 5-6 days a week, whatever it is.
Are you using an RFID card and a PIN? Or?
No. I've just got a username and a password, which they make me change every 3 months. And like everybody else, it gets harder and harder for me to remember all my passwords. And you end up changing a character or two, and then it'll say, oh, you already used that one. So I forgot. Now I can't log on. I've got to call this person in IT. They've got to reset it. It's a major pain, and it doesn't feel very secure, right? It happens to everybody. And I'm like, why can't I just stick my eyeball up to the screen and it scan me on? Does this thing, Nimbus T, does it take the place of that?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Well, sign me up.
So what happens is, let me see if I can share something here.
Yeah. And then while you're pulling that up, this would be a system that you would sell to, say, a Baptist hospital system, and then me as the employee would sign up with authentication, and you're going to show it here. Excellent. Yeah.
Can you see this? So
I see it. It looks great. Yeah.
Here's a Nimbus Key system, and so here's a mobile app. And so we've made connections for quite a number of systems. And like I said, it's protecting the logins in the process. So if I go in here, can you see my screen?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, it looks good.
So what we've done is this is the way that you log in on the login screen. It actually logs in with a way that is a lot easier. Mm-hmm. If we had a hospital that had, they said, we have, normally you would see the QR code on the phone and you would scan it with the camera and here on the laptop, because the laptop has a camera, but you had all the, in a hospital, all these computers that don't have cameras. So our system detects, is there a camera? Yes, it activates. If there is no camera, it actually instead shows a different encrypted QR code of the system you're trying to log into. And you press this little button in the right-hand corner on your phone, activates the camera, and you scan the QR and then punch in the 6-digit PIN. So we call this a mirror image logistics. So whether you have a camera or no camera, it's a new way of logging into systems that makes it much more powerful. So right now, I'm not going to give a demo. There's a little video on our website that you can see showing it. It's a 4-minute video that I described the entire process.
What's the name of your website for our listeners?
Nimbus-T.com.
Nimbus-T.com.
Yes.
So, Jose, I think I understand, you know, that what you're building, incredibly powerful. I think you're targeting, you know, enterprise, you know, business to business. So for me, if I'm incredibly excited about this, I still have to wait to some degree for some of the end users or some of the platforms I use to adopt this. Is that?
Yeah, right now we've implemented Salesforce, AWS, Google Workspace, Microsoft Azure Active Directory, and we have a plugin for WordPress. There's 800 million WordPress websites. And we're looking into, again, once you connect with systems, it's more protective. You know, the social media does a front-end connection with OAuth and some of these systems. So when you think about single sign-on to a enterprise system, single sign-on means you log in once. And like you said, right now, they're requiring almost 16-character passwords. You can't memorize that.
No.
So what? So if when you're talking about logging in, you log in with username, password, and a two-factor authentication, and then all of a sudden your admin has your privileges. So all of a sudden you have 10 things that you logged in immediately. You don't have to punch in a password anymore. So this makes it really easy for the criminals because they get an admin account and they have access to everything and they can encrypt everything. So that's a huge nightmare. So that's the B2B. Right now we're talking to, we have a contract with the healthcare, the DHA, Defense Healthcare Administration. Biopharma companies are doing clinical research internationally. They need to do a KYC, and again, in the banking, KYC AML, know your customer and anti-money laundering. So they want KYC verification of the participants in clinical trials because they're getting paid. And criminals apparently coming in, creating fake accounts and getting paid for it. So it's, and well, again, if you're a biopharma company and you have all this information and millions of dollars in order to get your patent, and all of a sudden somebody steals that, and that's what's happening with the government and universities and hospitals. So it's not good.
Yeah, and it's crazy just as a consumer, not speaking as a physician, but you have all this private data that you trust these entities to protect, and they're not always able to do that. You could not count the number of entities that has your social security number, your birthday, your address, all of this information, and you see them get hacked every single day, right?
And it's terrible that these companies that are doing a lot of the marketing, they're reselling all of your information. And how is that even legal?
Right.
You know, when you think about HIPAA regulations, right, we're supposed to protect all this stuff, but yet hospitals are actually selling the information and they're saying it's de-identified. I don't think so, you know. So this is a little frightening. This is where the artificial intelligence world comes into, you know, concern, where you're putting so much information in there. It's now accessible to the dark world, you know. And like I said, right now we have elections that are going to be coming around the corner, and the amount of false information that can be transmitted and changing people's thought processes. You even have videos that are able to be created of people. I mean, there's some of.
Yeah, and you can't tell.
You can't tell.
You can't tell.
No, it's a little frightening. So
it's a little scary.
Yeah. So to answer your question, with regards to actually, with regards to what's happening right now, like I said, we're members of X9.org. That's a cybersecurity team to the banking. Now, as you know, bank-to-bank transactions. The SWIFT and ACH networks, right? Mm-hmm. What's interesting is normally in a structure, in a business structure, you have a buyer and a seller in their banks, and the banks are doing the transactions. And and it's a square logistics. So if you think about international payments, a payment from Japan to get to the United States, it takes 4 days and three banks for it to happen. And it's not encrypted, it's text messaging. So the data field sometimes, because of the differences in language, can only be like 85 to 90% accurate. So there's problems with that. The federal government has launched something new called ISO 222 that is an encrypted XML data structure. And the XML data structure, they've been working on this for like 20 years. So it's an international standard. So if you have invoice, every data field is identified. Invoice, first name, middle name, last name, you know, services. So all of a sudden, this new system, the federal government, is called the Fed FedNow FastPay digital system. And so this encrypted XML data structure, all of the banks in the US and Canada are now moving in this direction. And it will actually include the crypto world also. So banks will be able to do crypto transactions and save your cryptocurrency in those. So it's rather interesting. And as you know, when we think about payments, we have in the healthcare industry, it's not a square. It's there's somebody in the middle, the third party administrator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when I graduate from residency, a day in the hospital is $2,500 a day. Today it's $50,000 a day. Why? The contracts are paying hospitals 10 to 30% of the bill. So on that $50,000 bill, they're getting paid $5,000. And under contract, doctors are getting paid, what, 30 to 40% of the bill on the high end. So what's happened is retail pricing has gone through the roof, right? Retail pricing is almost fraudulent pricing. So I was hospitalized 2 years ago with a brain infection, a viral brain infection at a Stanford hospital. 7 days in the hospital was $350,000.
That's crazy.
And they got paid $150,000, 30%, okay? And this is so to prove what I'm saying. And then I had a kidney stone at O'Connor Hospital in San Jose, and I was in the emergency room for 6 hours. This was like 4 years ago. For 6 hours, instead of doing a KUB, they did a CT scan. Oh, you have a kidney stone in your left kidney. And so I had pain medication, sat on a gurney, and then I passed the kidney stone. The bill was $16,500. Under contract, they got paid $1,500. They were all upset. But what's happened to the healthcare industry, when I first went into practice, it was 80-20 pay.
Yeah.
You know, the patient pays 20%, insurance pays 80%.
Right.
So when I created my electronic medical record system, when you think about the HICFA 1500 form, right? That is the data structure for submitting an electronic claim. Primary insurance, secondary insurance. So why do you have secondary insurance? As an OBGYN, I'd have a woman coming in and we'd ask for her insurance. So she has Kaiser insurance. Why would she give us her Kaiser card? She'd give us her husband's Aetna card. The staff would submit Aetna as the primary. Bill, denial. Turns out you have to submit the bill to Kaiser, get it done, then send it to Aetna. Are you kidding me? That causes an error in these transactions 20% to 30% of the time. Then when you think about what you have a CPT code, a diagnosis code, and what's the national provider identifier, right? The NPI number. It's equivalent to a tax ID number for a business or a social security number. Is it legal to have a file with every social security number that anybody can download? No, we're worried. We're trying to protect them. We used to ask for them now. The NPI database is in a government system that anybody can download. So they've given the criminals half of the equation for submitting fraudulent claims. So the Nimbus Key system, imagine this. You have an NPI number and you put your name on it and your birth date. And then you encrypt it and put it into a URL that goes back to the data system that the government has. And so that QR code, when you scan it, it would go back, it would decrypt it, and it would verify that you are who you say you are. So our patent revolves around two verticals, one on secure identity. The other one is protecting supply chain ID numbers to diplomas, licenses, things along those lines in a new way that nobody has ever been able to do before. But again, that error or that mishap that they've done to allow anybody to have the data file of over a million entities is really wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just as it's illegal to have your social security number for anybody to see. Same thing with the NPI number, man. Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah. Most of our listeners are physicians. Probably 95% of them are. Walk us through those listeners of how this would get implemented in their offices, if possible, the cost structure, how that works, or the hospital systems.
What we're looking at right now, it is for small companies, the Nimbus Key ID system is $14.99 per user per month. Big enterprises, we get down to about $8 to $9 per user per month. But think of this in the following manner. You have a global ID. Right now, it's a B2B launch to secure your entry into the system. But you own the ID. It's a global ID. Then the future will connect you to, say you're a diabetic and you have three devices. You have a blood pressure cuff, a weight scale and your glucometer. Well, why do you need three apps? With the API system, you could actually aggregate it and have it all in one location. Imagine a payment system that is different than what's there right now. There's many things where we can connect this to your global ID. You own it. Even though it's issued to you by your company, you own it. The DEMFA, Dynamically Encrypted Multi-Factor Authentication. It's a secure identity. It's a global ID. So it's your universal ID for each person, even though it's issued to you by the company. It's your identity. Then in the future, you'll be able to connect to securely to banks and things, hospital systems. So if you have medical information, one of the things we've already created a demo of this in on the mobile app, it would actually have all of your past medical, all of your medical information. If you have information in five hospitals, that global ID would connect to the IDs.
Link them.
Yeah, and it would then, with AI, you'd be able to aggregate it, sort it, and you have past surgeries, illnesses, medications, allergies, who all your doctors are, all your insurance information, all on your mobile app. And like I said, we've already created a demo of that. But that's where we're going also with our next round of funding is implementing some very important things that now you will actually have all your medical information aggregated on your Nimbus Key app. And you show the doctor a QR code, they scan it, they ask for permission to see your medical information, and then you say yes. So it's a new way. Because
That's cool.
That would be fantastic.
That's super cool.
Yeah, EMR systems don't want to communicate.
It's not realistic to think that all of the, you know, that half a dozen EHR companies are just going to lay down and say, we're going to let this other one be, you know, the dominant player. If what you're doing can be software agnostic and
work. Owned by the person who says, okay, because Apple said that they have connections for you to be able to access your information in like 90% of the hospitals. Basically, it's an Epic network through the FHIR. It's a fire network system. But I looked it up and I'm looking at the hospitals. And if you have accounts of five hospitals, you have to register at each one and get a username and password.
That's not going to happen.
It's a pain in the butt. No.
Well, Jose, what you just said alone would save trillions of dollars in healthcare. Think of the duplication of tests that we create as physicians. I'm not so sure as an OBGYN, but think of it in terms of like an anesthesiologist, like for us. Oh, I don't have that heart catheterization report to put this patient to sleep safely. I don't have this echocardiography from this XYZ hospital. And the patients don't care because a lot of it they don't pay for. Well, we all pay for it, but yeah, they're not paying for it right directly out of their pocket. Right. But if you had this system in place where I just give Dr. XYZ this access, you would eliminate so much of that, right?
Yeah, very exciting. And one of the things that I think that we're looking at in the healthcare world, when you're a doctor, you're so busy. And part of the growth process is, as I earn money, where do I invest it? How do I invest it? You know, and what's happening in the healthcare world, there's a lot of new developments and new startup companies. There's some companies that are being made that they're not doctors and they're in the healthcare space. They don't really understand healthcare and they're trying to create solutions and they're only ideas. We've been working on this now I've been working on it for 10 years. Our full engineering team, we've been working on it for 4 years now. And like I said, we're launching our product. We're raising a seed round. And if any doctors would be interested, I'd be happy to talk to them about potential investment in our...
No, we definitely want to talk about that. And I want to talk about that, whatever you're comfortable with to record here on the podcast, because that's part of what we do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you first about, seems like the total addressable market is almost limitless. So I'm comfortable with that, but you've got competitors in the sense of what, Okta, who else would be a competitor to you?
Okta is worth $40 billion. They bought Azure for $6 billion. There's a group out of Florida that bought four identity companies for $21 billion. There's about four other companies that have, and again, I'd be happy to do a complete PowerPoint investor presentation to anybody right now. I'm not selling shares in the company yet. You know, I'm just informing. Okay, so from the standpoint of SEC regulations and things. But I'm available to discuss with anybody who's an accredited investor to be able to get involved. So this market, like I said, the federal government is launching a requirement for advancing identity and security in this response. And we're at the right place at the right time. And the players in this space, the M&A activity has been quite significant. So we believe that we'll be acquired within 3 to 5 years for those types of numbers.
Well, one problem I've seen with many of the startups we've been acquainted with and familiarized with is the wide scale commercialization. Like it's pretty easy to come up with an idea and everybody thinks that's the hard part. That's actually the easiest. And then I think it's fairly easy to come up with a prototype, perhaps a software package, but the challenge becomes the scale. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that and what you're planning and how you're going to overcome that obstacle.
We're on AWS. And one of the things we've signed a exclusive right of distribution with Vannon Healthcare out of the United Kingdom for them to distribute Nimbus Key. They actually have the GreenCube EMR system and they have like 360 hospitals. And we have three other VARs or value-added resellers that are selling cybersecurity services and they have a customer base. So we're connecting with VARs in order to distribute our solution to their existing customer base. So right now it's we don't want to go too big too fast. Right now, like I said, WordPress, small to medium-sized companies is what we're focused on right now. We do have some very big players. Like I said, we signed a contract with DHA, and we have two biopharma companies that need help with identifying more for a B2C, right? So if you have an 80-year-old person, right, that's a patient, do they actually want to do the entire KYC verification on their phone? Probably not. But if you have their information on your medical record, and EMRs don't have pictures of patients on them mostly, and they should be putting the patient's picture on there. Is what Tom Johnson, one of my friends, there's 100 pages of Tom Johnson's on LinkedIn. So that's a problem we're dealing with, right? So in our system, you have the image of the person, and we verify that it's you on multiple variables. And so what we're dealing with here is we're looking at, you know, on your phone, you have a Starbucks card right on it. And you have a barcode that actually you go and pay with a barcode. Barcodes are scary because it's all text and anybody can steal a barcode and reuse it, right? Mm-hmm. Similar with QR code. You know, a QR code is normally text. So here in San Francisco, they changed. There was a parking structure where you pay monthly for your parking and it has the display and a QR code. Somebody changed all the QR codes and it was sending you to a false payment system. They duplicated the website.
Wow.
So the FBI is very worried about QR codes. They're very good in one way. If you go to a restaurant and it shows you a menu, no big deal. But if all of a sudden it's a payment system, it's a problem. Ours, what's really incredible is if you take an ID or a URL and you encrypt it, there's no way. You have no idea what to do with it. So we're protecting that aspect of it. And again, our patent revolves around imagine this. So as I was saying, if you're a patient, we could actually issue a static encrypted QR code on your phone that you go and check in, scan, punch in your PIN, and that would be okay. That's the first layer of protection. Our dynamic, where it changes every 5 minutes, that's more advanced. That's more for the B2B launch. So it's fascinating. To give you one last example, if you have a pacemaker and again, the global supply chain of delivery of products are using barcodes. So when you scan it, it tells you what the price is of the product. So there's pacemakers. We have a brochure that I can't show you right now on the screen, but we can. So if you have a pacemaker that costs $25,000 and you have a barcode, the Chinese or any fraudulent manufacturer can create a million of them with the same barcode and you never know if it's real or fraudulent. If you take that barcode, the manufacturer produces these products. The FDA is mandating that every ID of every product, medical device made in the United States has to be registered with their system. Why? So imagine this. The manufacturer creates a pacemaker A that costs $25,000. And here's the ID or the ID on it. It creates a barcode that then you can scan and tell you that it's $25,000. But at the same time, it takes that ID, encrypts it, puts it into a URL, then into a QR code, the Nimbus Key product ID. You would scan it, and it would take you back to the manufacturer data system. They have the key to decrypt it. They would decrypt it, and then it would show you this invoice for this product manufactured by this company, delivered to this customer, a year ago. So you just scanned a duplicate. So we could actually protect fraudulent manufacturing across the board. So there's some really interesting things that we're doing.
Yeah, I thought this was some kind of password keeper device. I'm going to have a hard time summarizing this, Jose. This is a lot of stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah, we had really good stuff. I would summarize it into two things. One is a secure identity that goes beyond anything out there for protecting login systems. Number two, there's an opportunity coming up that the second half of our patent really revolves around protecting supply chain. Product IDs can now be protected where you can't duplicate as you can with the barcode. One of the things that we're looking at is this. Let me discuss one interesting logistics that we're looking at. We're talking to a hospital system in Pennsylvania that has 5,000 employees. Now, they're providing full coverage health insurance, $40 million a year. Mm-hmm. Now, when the employees actually receive the insurance, where do they go to receive their care? They go to the hospital and the doctors in the circumference of that hospital. So under contract with the insurance company, the hospital's paying $40 million a year. There's a $5,000 deductible for every employee. So 5,000 times 5,000, that's another $25 million. That's a total of $65 million. So when a patient comes to see you, one of the employees of that hospital comes to see you and you submit a $100 bill and you get an explanation of benefits, says, here's your $30 under contract. That's what you're getting, right? What a nightmare. And the hospital, same thing. They wind up sending a bill and they get paid 10%. Why? We were able to get with Aetna catastrophic health insurance for those 5,000 for $9 million. Mm-hmm. That would be $31 million in a central account that could be used. And we've already created a demo of a digital app that would show a QR code to your account. It could be a stablecoin account, like with the blockchain. Circle.com has many stablecoins, and we're looking at launching something called NTCC, which would be a stablecoin for healthcare. And every employee would have a budget of $5,000. So they come see you and they scan you and they send you their payment, $100 on that $100 bill, you know? So it's $9 million for catastrophic coverage. So you have that covered. And then $31 million that would then be allowed every employee to have a budget of $5,000 for outpatient services. And guess what? The hospital could save 10 to 25% of that. So imagine a movement in which all of a sudden you don't have a third party administrator in here anymore. Now it's a square. Get rid of, with the digital world, you don't need third-party administrators. They're stealing, I hate to say this, they're stealing a lot of the money as insurance companies.
You're talking our language. I love it.
Jeff Brown, there's a lot of parallels to what mm-hmm. the direct primary care.
I know where you're going. That's right.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, just price transparency.
Tell him about that because he's not familiar, and it would just remind our listeners of that one.
I'd like you to also consider going to nimbus-t.io. There's nimbus-t.com, which mm-hmm. is the website for secure identity. Then nimbus-t.io, my wife and I were living in Switzerland 5 years ago. We almost launched this then. But in Switzerland, the banks wouldn't open an account. They didn't want to deal with crypto. But the world's changed dramatically now. And we're looking at launching this within the next 12 months. And one of the ways that we'd like to do that is imagine a hospital system that would say that all of a sudden we can do some pilots with hospitals to say, you know what, the money that you're spending right now, let's modify this logistics. And now the hospital, because normally with HSA accounts, the money goes out, right? Each employee gets the money and then they misspend it. Here, the money stays in a central account in a partnership with the hospital, and the hospital owns the money and the budget is only on the app of every employee. And then they can transfer the payment instantaneously. So continue.
Yeah, no, I like the model because you can go out and find vendors and find out what their cash price is, where they're making profit. It's good business for them.
Well, imagine this. We've been kept in a hole in which we used to lead the entire industry. And then all of a sudden, they're killing us in private practice, making you go work for Kaiser and Enterprises. And I imagine the ability to all of a sudden have doctors take control again in such a way that the funds are not being used to pay for insurance. The funds are being used to pay for healthcare.
Right.
And so this would enable doctors to go into private practice. You don't have to sign insurance contracts. And because if it's the hospital beginning this, number one, we've been prevented from creating groups, right? Like, we're supposed to have our own independent pricing. This system would allow you to have your own price. If you want to charge for a 15-minute visit $50 or $150, you actually put it right now. It's like $250 because you're getting paid $25 on a 10% payment, you know? But if you don't have insurance, like I said, the fraudulent retail pricing right now, people are losing their houses. Mm-hmm. Because it's fraudulent pricing, because of these contracts. I wrote a letter to the government, one of our senators, saying we have to pass a law that says that it's illegal for insurance companies to contract discounts more than 30%. So consumer never pay more than 30% of what an insurance company. Retail prices would, fraudulent retail prices would drop 50% overnight. You know, so we've lost control. We need to take back control. And taking back control means that we're making sure that the delivery of healthcare is better for the doctors that are delivering the care, working 100 hours a week, right? And right. The patients who need the care. When right now, to give you an example, we're 56th in the world in perinatal mortality. Why is that? We're not first. We're 56th. You know, we're talking about our population, the longevity. When you look at the growth curves, we're like at the bottom end, and we're spending more money than anybody else because the insurance companies are stealing all the money.
Yeah, it's not going to healthcare, right?
Right. It's not going to healthcare. It's going to profit, when it should be used to buy healthcare. Yeah. What's your? Tell me a little bit about your experience with regards to the billing processes.
It's the same thing. I mean, it's you know, we get paid a fraction of what the charges are, and it's a game, right?
And it seems like you have no control over it. There's no negotiation.
There is none.
There's none, right. and you know, the pre-certification, you know, that's a major issue right now, because to me, I think it's a game. You know, the insurance company will ask for a peer-to-peer. You'll get a call. Your office will get a call at 4:30. Right. While everybody's, you're trying to get the patients that are there, you're trying to get everybody managed, and you know, you don't have an opportunity to respond to that. And then they'll say, we tried, you know,
or in my world, you know, I did pain for 3 years. You want to have a peer to peer talk with me about a cervical epidural that I'll get $76 for and then pay my 60% overhead to? It's crazy.
Well, the way I think about it is this: in order to change the world, you can't change it in the existing architecture. We can change it in the internal architecture. When you're talking about the doctors who understand the pain and the hospital is saying, wait a minute, I'm paying all this insurance and I'm getting paid what, 10% of my bills? And changing the architecture, there's some hospitals that are already doing something like that, but they're not using the logistics of the stablecoin world, or now the federal government with their fast digital payment. It's an electronic payment in seconds. Okay. And so what's interesting is that we don't need third party administrators. The hospital and the entire community in that region would then understand, hey, guess what? We don't have to sign contracts anymore. And those other businesses in the vicinity will then see the value. And what's interesting is that they can do their own similar logistics in a way where we're paying X amount a year in full coverage. Let's see, the 9 million, so it was 25% of the full fee is actually now catastrophic coverage. So you have that delivered and the rest goes into a digital account. And we can do a partnership with, you know, with Chase Bank or any of these other banks in which their account would manage it. And these would then be digital payments that can happen. So that is the future, and we need to change it. Like I said, it's affecting the entire health of the entire United States. So there's some really cool things, and I'm really happy to talk to you all and to talk to your audience, because we can change the world in a very positive way on multiple ways here. So you can see that the IT world is important, and as we manage information, the ability to simplify, improve, and secure. That's what God has put us here to do, is to improve things. So Nimbus is sitting at a very important place here. As I said, that we're in Washington, D.C. with X9, the cyber team to banking. And so having dealt with identity and patient identity and identity for many years and looking at where the problems are, I think we positioned ourselves in such a way that we really are at the right place at the right time with the right solution.
I'm going to try to summarize this, and then I'm going to allow you to just follow up because there's so much involved in this. This will be a difficult summary, but this is a true encrypted personal authentication system that can interface with multiple business entities, including hospitals, physician offices, to facilitate identification and payment.
Not payment yet.
But it can, but that's potential.
The future. Yeah, we like I said, we have demonstrations on this, and we will actually implement it. And we already have. Yeah. So to summarize, like you said, it's the secure identity and protecting the login of systems, which is 80% of the time criminals are getting in through the front door.
Right. Well, Dr. Bolanos, thank you so much for joining us with the Merge Medical Podcast. This has been a fascinating discussion. I think we could have gone for hours and hours, and I apologize for the short time frame. I'd love to bring you back for a live interface with our members and discuss an investment in the future. So,
thank you.
Dr. Jeff Brown, Dr. Jeff Cole, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.